Hi everyone, I'm Jason Scores and welcome to another episode of Dispatch from the Zombie Apocalypse. I hope everybody is doing great. So today's episode is entitled How the Right Wing Has Shed Its Principles in the Pursuit of Power. And I'm going to get into a lot of stuff, both from the news and from my own personal life, to try to illustrate some key points. And to begin, one of the most enduring and disturbing aspects of this past MAGA decade is seeing so many people on the right who were supposedly committed to conservative principles completely throw them out the window when traitor Trump came on the scene. Most people in the country still haven't fully grappled with and internalized how so many on the right who used to insist, like stridently insist, we must do A and reject B, are now doing B and rejecting A. That their entire worldviews have flipped almost on a dime. People who profess for decades to be of the highest moral principles and values have been exposed as completely devoid of principle and moral and intellectual cowards. Now look, a lot of this comes back to a psychological concept many of you have probably heard of called motivated reasoning. There is a large body of scientific research around this concept, but it basically describes how people can rationalize just about anything to serve deeper emotional needs and values. Those who are most susceptible to motivated reasoning, by definition, have actually very weak or non-existent principles, because having principles means being able to hold on to them even when times are difficult, when they require sacrifice, or when they make one feel uncomfortable. And this should also kind of bring up another related point, which is, again, I mentioned how all these people, you know, proudly showing, you know, stating and exclaiming how strong their principles were, and now they've flipped on them. Well, remember the old adage, silent river runs deep. It's often the case that people who have to shout how patriotic they are, shout how principled they are, it's not really that deep. It's pretty thin and pretty superficial. So that's just another thing to note. People who really have strong values and commitments don't have to shout them from the rooftops. I'll return to the underlying values that motivate the right, you know, throughout this episode and, you know, obviously across many of these episodes. But remember, their primary motivation here is power. They want power at all costs. And since their ideas suck, and most people hate them. This is a recurring theme, right? Most people hate the right-wing ideas and think they suck. So the people on the right have given up on persuasion and democracy because it no longer suits them. They are inherently authoritarian because they want the world they want, freedom be damned. If people aren't willing to submit to their views, then they have to be forced upon them. And so look, I want to provide some examples from this to make this, you know, to illustrate this, to make this real. And I'm going to break this episode into two parts. The first is stuff from the recent news, and then after the break, examples from my personal life. So in the news, there's one from Mitt Romney that I thought was really surprising, but also kind of illustrative. Right, he made the case that Biden, as soon as Trump was indicted by the DOJ, he should have automatically pardoned Trump for all federal crimes. And he said, the America doesn't have the appetite to go through, convicting a former president. It wasn't going to happen before the election anyway. And this would have showed Biden taking the high road. And this is so ridiculously backwards. Romney's reasoning is so bad, so stupid, so ahistorical. It's like he's learned nothing from the last 50 plus years of American history. And now look, Mitt Romney is a smart guy, and he's a guy who says he won't vote for Trump, so he's not even in the MAGA cult. I think it's likely he will come out and endorse Biden. Maybe he'll even speak at the, you know, the Democratic National Convention, which would be amazing, right? A former presidential candidate, Republican, coming out for Biden. Great. So again, like, there's a lot of things I like about Romney. But what this shows is that even someone like Romney, who does have some principles, can fall prey to motivated reasoning. And let's see how it kind of works in this case, right? He wants to believe, right, that his side, conservatives, would respond to a Trump pardon by elevating Biden. Be like, oh, what a great thing Biden did. He took the high road. He's giving our guy a break. And that would lead to respect for him, right? And again, what's his motivated reasoning? He still wants to believe, right? He's a conservative. He hates the fact that his movement has gone so dark. So he wants to believe that actually pardoning Trump would have helped Biden and shown that, you know, given the conservatives a reason to praise him. But this is the opposite of the truth. I would bet hundreds of thousands of dollars, I bet almost every penny I have, that if Biden pardoned Trump, it would be the opposite, right? It would show Biden as weak. It would make people on the left incredibly angry, his base, say, what are you doing? This guy's finally being held accountable after trying to overthrow the government, a violent insurrection, a career criminal stealing national security documents, and you're not even letting the court process go through. You're just putting him above the law. And then also, more importantly, it would have emboldened the right. They would have seen Biden as weak. They would have said, we can do anything, and they never will hold us accountable. So let's just go do it again. So again, what's Romney's motivated reasoning here? He still wants conservatives to have power, right? And again, he doesn't have the same authoritarian impulses as other people on the right, but his deep desire to think that kind of taking this soft, easy road would help kind of elevate Biden and help him earn respect from his side is just trying to present a side of the right-wing movement that doesn't exist. He so badly wants it to exist, but it doesn't exist. And so even Romney would just could throw out all of history. Again, think about it. Romney's a smart guy. And you could sit down with him. You could show all the history of people being pardoned and let off, how that leads to more violence and to more corruption because people aren't held accountable and they think they could get away with it. But he just can't get over it. He just so wants it to be the truth. And if only Democrats would go easy on Trump, everything would work out, right? So the next example is from someone who's clearly an authoritarian and a fascist, and that's Samuel Alito, you know, justice on the Supreme Court. If you haven't seen it in the news, at his house, they were flying an insurrectionist upside-down flag on his flagpole outside his house less than 2 weeks after the January 6th insurrection. Now think about that. This is someone who swore an oath to the Constitution, and he's literally flying an upside-down flag in support of the Stop the Steal movement, right? And you'd say, how the fuck could this happen, right? The thing is, he just wants power, and that's all. He doesn't probably even see the contradiction at all. It's just like, the right is right, we always win, the left is decrepit, and it just doesn't matter. All that talk about originalism and the Constitution, the rule of law, that's just out the window. He wants the power, and that's it. And he'll make up any cockamamie bullshit reason for the things he wants. He made stupid excuses about his wife did it. But I mean, again, it's like the dog ate my homework stuff, you know? It's just pathetic. And we now have two open insurrectionists on the court, Alito and Uncle Clarence. And there's probably more from some of the stuff that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh were saying at the immunity hearing. They seem pretty down with insurrection. So we have, you know, perhaps three, four, maybe even five insurrectionists, pro-insurrectionists who have sworn to the Constitution on our Supreme Court. Huh? How can this be? Right? And again, put aside all the high-minded rhetoric, all the respecting tradition. And what we see is that the right wing in America has morphed into a fascist movement for which principles are for suckers. It's just raw power. And speaking of my side for a moment, the Democratic side, the rule of law side, the accountability side, the truth side, The Democratic Party has been pitifully weak in response to Alito. I mean, just imagine if a democratically appointed Supreme Court justice flew an insurrectionist flag after a Democratic president tried to overthrow an election. Now, of course, a Democratic president in the modern era would never be a coup-plotting insurrectionist. But just, you know, flip the world, you know, just go with the kind of hypothetical here. They would go fucking ballistic. There would be protests out the Supreme Court calling for their immediate resignation. And yet, the response has been pretty tepid and muted on the left. It's sad that you can literally have a pro-insurrectionist Supreme Court justice who says, yeah, my wife did it. Eh, fuck you. Now, look, I want to just make a point. It's kind of cliche and an old, you know, old hat to talk about how the Democrats are weak and, you know, they don't stand up for themselves. I don't think this is the case with Biden. The irony is Biden and his campaign are pretty strong and aggressive, and I really like it. It's, like, so refreshing. But the Democratic Party writ large is still way too timid, way too weak. And it's hurting us, and we have to be more confident. It doesn't mean, you know, frothing at the mouth, but it means calling out insurrectionists on the Supreme Court pretty loudly. Definitely, you know, it definitely requires that. And this reminds me of a quote that I have in my email signature, the top of my email signature. Many of you probably heard it. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. W.B. Yeats. Right, let that sink in. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. So if we're not going to be full of passionate intensity all the time, could we at least have a little more conviction? Maybe, pretty please. Cherry on top. All right, I'm going to come back with some examples from my own life right after the break.
I'm too weak to fight. Listen to me, baby. Too weak to fight, yeah. You're breaking down my health, girl. Can't eat and I can't sleep. Oh, no. I've tried to turn you loose now, but your hook is in too deep. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so before I talk about these examples from my own life, I want to note that it's not just anyone who can be brought into a cult and made to believe that black is white and up is down, and therefore, you know, there are certain types of people that are much more susceptible to motivated reasoning, to being able to rationalize anything. And of course, I want to be clear, everybody is susceptible to this, including myself, right? I'm not some, you know, enlightened being that, you know, can't be, you know, coerced at all or can't, you know, be biased. Of course not. But the issue here is that there's certain demographics that are really susceptible to it. And the type of features of people who are really prone to conspiracy theories, you know, share a few common characteristics. In the show notes, I'll link to an article in Scientific American about the psychology of conspiracy thinking. But the bottom line here is that people who are anxious, fearful, and feel alienated are the most likely to be drawn to conspiratorial thinking. Trader Trump's unique skill is that he saw the fear and alienation in America and saw fertile ground to build a fascist cult movement around himself. The fascist degenerate Steve Bannon also saw this, and he helped Trader Trump develop this into the MAGA movement. One thing that's incredibly important to remember is that most of this alienation is not based on economics, but on culture. These are people who don't want to see a multicultural society where women and the LGBTQ community have equal standing. Their alienation is from the perspective of white male Christian supremacy. This is the point lost on most commentators, who rightly point out the alienation in the MAGA movement, but don't interrogate its sources. It's one thing to be angry and anxious about economic conditions. That's reasonable, and we should be empathetic to it. If you're down and out or barely getting by or don't have, you know, food money for your kids or are worried, right? That's legitimate. Economic anxiety, very legitimate.
But it's an altogether different thing to be anxious and angry because black and brown people are rising in society, or that women are earning more graduate degrees, or gay people can marry. The former is entirely legitimate and sympathetic, while the latter rationale is racist, bigoted, and misogynistic. And while policy can be used to help people's economic conditions, we can give them, you know, tax credits, we can give them subsidized health care, you know, only violence and coercion, however, can be used to bend culture to a white supremacist theocratic worldview. And this is why many on the right are much more prone to violence. This point is often overlooked by much of the pundit class to this day. They can't look at fascism and call it wrong because they refuse to recognize the true source of MAGA grievance. So let me turn to two examples from my life. One relates to a former colleague of mine who taught in my school. His expertise was on terrorism, and he taught classes on conspiracy theory and counterterrorism. And now he supports MAGA fascism full-on. He's a full-on MAGA. How could this be? How could someone who literally taught conspiracy theory as an academic subject get sucked into one? Contradictions don't matter to conspiracy theorists. They can literally contradict themselves in the same sentence. Traitor Trump can say the January 6th riot was Antifa and Democratic plants and then call them patriots and hostages in the same sentence. This person in question was an older white male who was very angry and aggrieved all the time. And remember, this is the key demographic for conspiracy theory and the MAGA cult. Older, white, angry men. He was also a white supremacist, but his white supremacy was masked in ways to make it appear less racist. He would talk about the superiority of Western values and Western culture, particularly as opposed to Islamic culture. But where his views became warped, and I see this often, is equating this superiority of culture to the superiority of skin color, of whites over brown people. What most white supremacists don't realize is that it's the values they champion are not associated with skin color. I'm totally fine with saying some values are better than others. We could debate those, that's a topic for a different time, but they're not associated with skin color. In fact, in America, black people are much more committed to democracy than white people, and therefore are much better guardians of Western values. This would blow the white supremacist's mind. Say, you're the ones not committed to democracy, it's the black people who are. But again, they falsely equate these values with skin color. It's the actual commitment to the values that matter most, not the appearance of those who profess to believe in them, but the actual commitment. This brings me to another nuance when describing white supremacy in America. Many white supremacists like the food and culture from black and brown people. This former professor would rave about his favorite taco spots and how much he loved Mexican food. Most white supremacists are totally fine with black and brown and Asian people if they're in a subservient role. They love the food, the sports, the celebrities. It allows them to pretend not to be racist. But this has always been the case throughout history. Being a white supremacist doesn't mean hating every brown person. It means believing white people should dominate society and hold most of the power. This is why people in the media get lost in stupidity and ignorance when they see a few black and brown people at a Traitor Trump rally. It's why they can't see that Uncle Clarence is the biggest white supremacist in the nation. It's about power structures, not individuals. People don't have to hate every black and brown person to be a white supremacist. Just as my former colleague spoke kindly about individual black and brown people, but elevated white society and culture over all others that he deemed inferior. And even though he studied conspiracy theories, his motivated reasoning was so strong and his grievance so all-consuming that he fell victim to the MAGA cult. Moving on, my next example is from a recent encounter while walking my dog with my toddler. A guy kind of, you know, commented to me, said, oh, you know, is that your kid? Yeah, congratulations. And then I had a sweatshirt on. I have a couple sweatshirts and t-shirts that say, Make America Grateful Again. And they have Grateful Dead iconography on them. And he said, hey, you have Make America Great Again. And I said, no, this is Make America Grateful Again, not great. And he goes, oh, well, I'm MAGA. And I said, oh, you know, that's fine. I respect all individuals, but I don't respect fascism. And he said, fascism? What do you mean? I said, you want me to break it down for you? And he said, yes. So I said, fascism, while it's not perfectly defined, is an ideology that promotes a kind of political violence in the service of ethno-nationalist, racist state. And he said, racist? What do you mean racist? What about Trump is racist? And I said, well, Trump has said many racist things for years. He said, you know, that people in kind of black, poor countries are shithole countries, and that we should only have immigration from, you know, from rich Northern European white societies. And he literally looked at me right in the face and said that I was crazy and out of my mind. I was crazy and out of my mind for saying that Trump has said racist things. So how does this happen? How does someone's reality get so inverted? Black is white, up is down. Well, of course, it starts with fake news. Everything that you don't agree with is fake news. Then it becomes alternative facts. No, you have facts, but I have alternative facts. Then you end up calling insurrectionists hostages and patriots. Remember, the goal of fascists is to destroy any notion of objective reality so that your cult followers lose all semblance of truth and can be easily manipulated to do or believe anything, and then that means that you can then, as the leader, get away with anything. The zombie apocalypse is an apt metaphor because the fascists create a legion of zombie followers completely detached from reality. So detached from reality that when someone like me says to them, 2 + 2 = 4 and the sky is blue, they look me in the face and tell me I'm out of my mind and crazy. It's a complete inversion of reality into an upside-down zombie nightmare. And there's tons of evidence that MAGA fascism has already been extremely successful at destroying truth for millions or tens of millions of Americans. So before I kind of head to the next break, I just want to say that these examples raise a few key points. So the first is that you can be intelligent in some dimensions and still become a MAGA cult member. As long as you're aggrieved and alienated and angry, it doesn't matter that you're a physicist or an engineer or a conspiracy theory professor. You have the demographic that is easily to be converted into a MAGA fascist. This is what grievance does. It overrides reason. It destroys your rational faculties. You can literally convince yourself of anything, and when presented with the truth, you just project your own insanity onto others and dismiss them as out of their minds. Then you return to your cult media ecosystem where facts and truth are not permitted. This is why, by the way, MAGA is mostly a white phenomenon. They're the ones most angered by the changing power structures in America, but ironically, they have the least to lose by entering the MAGA cult, right? Because they still have most of the wealth and power and status, so being in the MAGA cult doesn't really threaten them. They don't have to give up that much. They get the camaraderie, they get the feeling of security, of being around people who share their views and allow them to be racist and sexist and bigoted, you know, with impunity. So they don't really give up almost anything. They gain a lot of kind of identity and solidarity with their group, and that's why they're the most susceptible. So I'll come back with the antidote right after the break. Okay, so for the antidote today, I want to note that, you know, I've issued many dire warnings if we don't defeat MAGA this November, but the one larger macro warning I want to make now is that truth will be obliterated. Tens of millions of people in the MAGA cult will have their worldviews validated, And these will be the people chosen to head all the major government agencies, as traitor Trump is saying that he's going to have a MAGA cult litmus test for anyone in his cabinet. They will destroy all notions of objectivity and fact-based governing. If you thought fake news and alternative facts were bad now, wait until traitor Trump and his minions tell you that the people you're seeing being killed on TV are all fake AI-generated images. This is not a drill. It is much easier to destroy truth and trust than to build it. And if we don't defeat MAGA, the zombie apocalypse will, you know, sink to new depths that even I can't fully appreciate or predict. So we must win and make sure this doesn't happen. So everybody, step up. The best ways are to donate money to Democratic causes and to get your networks and your people jazzed up to vote for Biden. In addition to the Scientific American link I'm going to put in the show notes, I'm also going to put a piece by Matt Iglesias on how to help Democrats win, and also a link to the Democratic Senate Committee so we can keep the Senate, maybe even increase our margins there, and restore Roe versus Wade, do voting rights, and lots of other good stuff. So with that, everybody, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please rate it, share it with family, friends, and colleagues. Subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And with that, everybody, stay safe. Take care.